All I have ever wanted to be was a WWE superstar. And for years, I tried to get my foot in the door, and for years, everybody shut the door on my face. I have sent tapes everywhere. I have sent tapes to the front office of talent relations. I have been to tryouts. I have been to Raw and SmackDown live events. I once paid $2,000 for a tryout. $2,000. And finally, after all of that, finally, I was given a chance with a developmental contract. And apparently, even down there, even there, I wasn't good enough.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass, and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it, and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
Thursday, November 8th, 2012. The best in wrestling talk radio. Back on the air, sitting in the Smack Talk studios here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. My name is Corey Callahan. Right sitting beside this guy, James McDonald.
That's me.
I ask you every week, James, how you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. Once again, looking forward to sitting for the next hour and a bit to talk professional wrestling with you this week. Oh, no voice crack. Awesome.
I thought you'd be a little disappointed tonight, James, because your boy Mitt Romney didn't win the presidential election.
Oh, my boy Mitt Romney. Give me a break.
Not that it matters. We are up in Canada. But it's nice to watch. You and I did watch the election.
God, I'm so glad that guy did not win, I tell you.
Mm. Oh. Linda McMahon didn't pull off the victory either.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later.
www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not on Twitter, just turn the show off at SRL Radio. I gotta say, James, I had a busy morning today.
Yeah,
I tried to buy tickets pre-sale to WrestleMania 29 in New Jersey, New York.
Oh, it begins.
I didn't get what I wanted, though, so I chose to wait until the general public on sale, which happens on Saturday morning.
Beauty. Why don't you tell everybody what we got coming up on the show?
Tonight, we're talking with Mike Knox, and he is the host of Perfect Plex Radio, also the owner of the BESIR Network. That stands for Best Damn Sports Show on Radio. I don't know if that's self-arguable,
but...
Yeah. Regardless, Mike Knox is going to be on the show talking wrestling with us tonight. A great guy and someone that we met down in Miami during WrestleMania weekend, so very excited to have him on. Big news as well for Smack Talk Radio Live this week, James. The official announcement coming out right now, the iPhone app is in development.
No way.
Yeah, the iPhone app is being made. We are going to be giving the listeners, we are going to be giving the listeners the ability to listen to our show live through iPhone or through the iPhone. You can download all of our podcasts through this app. It's in development. It's on its way. and we couldn't be more pumped about it.
Just like Fandango, it's in development.
Is it Fandango or Fandango? I'm not quite sure yet. All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's get everyone caught up with the business of the business. Let's kick off the post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, we start the post-to-post report this week with the political world. Woo. I'm not sure if you heard, James, but there was a presidential election this week in the United States.
Yeah, I might have caught something like that on Facebook or Twitter or something.
Oh, you came out of that cave you were living in.
Once in a while. I got to get some sunlight.
All right, we're talking Linda McMahon, and yes, she did come up short in her quest to win a Senate seat in Connecticut, losing to Democrat Chris Murphy on Tuesday. This would follow suit with her 2010 loss to Richard Blumenthal. Now, it's reported, and this is the part that just blows my mind, that the total cost of losing these two elections has ranged from $90 million to $97 million.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much money has she blown?
Millions of dollars.
What?
Millions of dollars.
The kicker? This apparently is her own money. This would be more money spent than any other American in history pursuing federal office.
In history?
Tuesday night, as Linda McMahon was giving her concession speech, Vince McMahon was said to be quite emotional, obviously feeling for his wife. If you haven't seen the video yet online, it's pretty interesting. You don't see Vince usually choke up like that, supporting his wife. Can't wrong the guy there. Others, though, they don't seem to be so sympathetic, as some former employees of the WWE have criticized Linda McMahon and the amount of money that she did spend on her campaign. Rowdy Roddy Piper, of all people, who of course worked under the McMahon family, took to Twitter writing, quote, "You can spend $90 million on losing an election, but won't give the people that earn that money for them medical or retirement help of any kind." Chris Mordetsky, who appeared as Chris Masters for the WWE, he tweeted, "$100 million later, it's time for the McMahons to quit politics. Linda, she doesn't have any plans to run for office again in the future."
Well, you never know, buddy. Third time's the charm, right?
It's amazing, but I guess the theory proves true. Money doesn't always buy you success. I mean, you completely outspend your opponent and he still takes the victory. To be honest, we don't live in Connecticut. I don't have a lot to comment. I feel for Linda. You know, you quit being the CEO of a company to go and pursue your dream of getting into federal politics, and you come up short twice and you lose $100 million in the process. I'm going to feel for anyone in that situation.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. On one hand, I do feel for Linda McMahon, but on the other hand, it's like I'm glad she wasn't able to buy her Senate seat. So that's just where I'm going on. Okay, Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. He's filed a lawsuit against his former employer, TNA Wrestling, along with Hulk Hogan and others on Monday, seeking a total of $1 million in damages. Now, Steiner claims that he sustained injuries during a November 2011 TNA house show when working a match with Jeff Hardy. Now, Steiner claims he injured his shoulder, his neck, and his giant biceps as a result of Hardy being drunk in the ring. Steiner says in the lawsuit that Hardy's impaired state made him unable to engage in the stunts and wrestling moves in a safe manner, and that Hogan and TNA president Dixie Carter had to carry him arm in arm to the ring entrance area. TNA is trying to get the lawsuit dismissed, of course.
This is very interesting because who becomes liable in a situation where one of the wrestlers in the ring is impaired?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the promotion that has hired and contracted the wrestler and put him in that match? Or is it the wrestler himself?
No, I agree with you. And it's like, my question is, is there sufficient evidence to have this not thrown out of court?
That's true as well. I mean, this is a house show. There was no video footage. What's also interesting is in this paperwork filed by Steiner, he says, Dixie Carter and Hulk Hogan helped Jeff Hardy to the back, arm in arm. But this is a house show. Are we really expecting Dixie Carter and Hulk Hogan to appear at a house show? Interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. Crossfire Entertainment, an independent promotion based out of Nashville, Tennessee, has apparently struck a national television deal which is being backed by Paramount. It's rumored that local talents were recently mailed out contracts and they're being offered $30,000 a year. Crossfire held their first HD 3D tapings recently, and they will hold their second set of tapings on January 5th, 2013. No word yet on when or where the first set of tapings will air, but the stars currently booked for their January taping, they include Roddy Piper, Carlito, Matt Hardy, Colt Cabana, and Chris Masters, among many others.
Interesting. Could we maybe see some competition for the WWE here finally?
I'm not going to go that far, but maybe for TNA or Ring of Honor, it's possible.
Yeah. John Bradshaw Layfield announced Wednesday on Facebook that he signed a contract with the WWE to remain as a commentator on a full-time basis. John had been filling in sporadically as a color commentator after Jerry Lawler suffered a heart attack during an episode of Monday Night Raw. John revealed that he will be a full-time commentator with SmackDown, replacing Michael Cole, and that his decision to come back full-time was based on how much he enjoyed filling in for Lawler, but that Raw is Jerry's show, and him and Michael Cole make a great team. He also mentioned that he'll be working pay-per-views as part of a three-man booth with Cole and Lawler, representing the SmackDown brand.
I'm a huge fan of JBL.
Me too. Yeah. He's probably one of the best color commentators since Bobby the Brain Heenan. He just comes up with some comedy gold nuggets, you know?
You're really stretching that one there. As good as Bobby Heenan?
Yeah, definitely. I would put JBL in the same class as Bobby Heenan. Definitely.
I'll take JBL over Cole on SmackDown any day. Let's just put it that way. Former WWE wrestler Karma, also known as Awesome Kong, she's scheduled to make her in-ring return on Saturday, November 17th, wrestling in St. Petersburg, Florida for the independent promotion Florida Underground Wrestling. Karma, who has not wrestled since WWE's Royal Rumble in January, is booked for a tag team match, teaming with former WWE Women's Champion Jazz against Allison Kay and TaylorMade in a Shine Ladies Tag Team main event.
Nice to see her getting back in the ring and working again. She's gone through a lot in the past year.
Gotta wonder what it would have been like in the Divas division she had stuck around.
Been way different. And just because we don't have enough lawsuits being thrown around, Corey, TNA star Kurt Angle went on a Twitter rant Tuesday night, claiming he is suing a software app developer named Wafi Wahidi. Angle claims the individual was contracted to create apps for Angle's fitness programs associated with his company, Angle Foods, for $35,000, and he failed to do so. Now, Angle took to Twitter to reveal this apparent crook, wanting to make sure that no one uses this app developer in the future. But at least Angle took the high road and thanked his fans in the process.
I guess you got to do that when you just blast someone else on Twitter. All right, let's get into the financials. The WWE stock price today, it closed at $8 a share. This is down 80 cents from this time last week. It's safe to say the excitement over last week's investors conference call had to do with last week's surge in the stock.
Yeah.
We're almost below $8 again, James.
Jeez.
Now, in terms of television ratings this week, WWE Monday Night Raw on November 5th, which was taped in the UK, it scored a dismal 2.78 rating, which is down 5% from the 2.94 rating last week. Raw's viewership was nearly the same, though, as last week, averaging around 4.07 million viewers.
Hmm.
To quote Michael Cole, in vintage three-hour fashion,
nice.
Raw followed its normal trend of declining viewers as the show ends. Had 4.07 million viewers in the first hour, kind of spiked up to 4.28 million in the second hour, but then it dropped to, get this, 3.88 million in the third and final hour. This trend of declining numbers from the second to third hour now, it has happened for 12 consecutive weeks.
Jeez, almost all the way back to the 1,000th Raw where they decided to go 3 hours permanently.
Well, I mean, what do you expect?
I agree with you. It's very tough to get through these three-hour Raws sometimes, and I thank God for PVRs because it would just be unbelievable trying to get through these things live.
Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business. That was the post-to-post report this week. How are you feeling about that, James?
I'm feeling good, but I'm feeling even better about what we got coming up next, Corey.
Let's not waste any time. Let's kick off Tail of the Tape.
It's time for the Tail of the Tape.
I have a question, James.
Shoot at me, buddy.
What the hell was that on Monday?
Yeah, it was a pretty hard Raw to get through. I have to say, though, the crowd was the one saving grace for this week's show, definitely.
Let me just say this, and I said it to you on Monday when we were watching the show. Thank God I was watching Monday Night Raw with friends in the room.
No kidding.
Because if I was sitting on the couch by myself trying to get through that 3 hours, I would have definitely fallen asleep.
But you know what? On the flip side, I'm a little bit embarrassed that I had some friends over that weren't really wrestling fans and that they had to be exposed to that kind of product. So
The 3 hours, man, I'm telling you, it's tough to get through.
It is. It's a real grind, it feels like.
Monday Night Raw was from Birmingham, England tonight, and while it may seem live back in North America, it was actually taped earlier in the day in Birmingham.
Right.
Do you feel that it was taped that night, or like did you even notice?
No, I didn't really notice any kind of difference. Maybe small, you know, technical wise, but other than that, no, it seemed like it was live.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I'm going to keep it positive this week.
All right, let's keep it positive. Yes, yes, that's good. Let's keep a positive mind frame as we move forward. Good idea.
All right.
Good idea.
Now, I don't want to waste any time bringing this gentleman on our show. We do have a guest this week on Smack Talk Radio Live.
Very excited to have him here.
And there's an interesting story on how we actually met this man. We'll get into it as soon as we bring him on. His name is Mike Knox. He is part of the BDSIR network. He hosts a wrestling show online called Perfect Plex Radio. And great show, live after Monday Night Raw. We've listened to it before ourselves.
Many a times.
And he's calling tonight from Delaware. So, Mike, you there, my friend?
I am here. What's going on, James? What's going on, Corey?
Not too much.
Mr. Knox, good to have you on the show, my friend.
Yes, thanks for coming on.
The man of a thousand belts.
Yes, Mike. Now, let me tell the story. We were in Miami, James and I. We were broadcasting live outside WrestleMania Access. Now, you know, the plan was we were just going to set up our show, start broadcasting live, and just invite anyone and everyone who wants to come onto the show and talk to us about WrestleMania weekend. And I remember specifically this moment in time. I'm looking at James. We're doing the show. I turn around, and there's two gentlemen with, I think we counted 9 belts. They were wearing 9 championship belts. It might have been 9 each. Might have been 9 total. I can't quite remember.
I have 9 myself. He's still on 5 now.
Wow. So you and your buddy.
I had 9 that day. Let me rephrase that. I had 9 that day.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
And so we just met you out of the blue in outside WrestleMania Access. You came on the show. We talked wrestling for a little bit and went on our way. And I said to you, we're going to have you back on the show one day. And tonight is the night. So thank you very much, Mike, for coming on the show, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me, Corey. WrestleMania weekend was fun. We saw cameras and lights.
That's right.
So, you know, being that was our first time at WrestleMania and Access, you know, they say, wrestling fans are like weed heads. You know, we all get along. We saw cameras, and we were so excited. We were on a natural high. We came across the street and just wanted to be on TV. Where's the stock footage? I need to see it. I gotta put that in my archive reel.
That's put away long. We have no. Actually, I don't even know where
it
is. So before we talk, we're going to talk wrestling with you tonight. It's always interesting to get a fresh take on the product on television.
Yes.
You know, we had mentioned you're from Delaware, and that's where you are tonight. That's where you're from. So it's always good to get an opinion from the other side of North America. So I'm really looking forward to that. But before we get into that, you know, let's just talk about your show. Give everyone the details on what your show is all about and how they can tune into it.
Well, first correction, I am Chicago-made punk, Chicago-made Knox.
I apologize.
By way of Delaware. I live in Delaware, the first state, which, you know, I'm not ashamed. This is where I've actually grown roots. My wife and my children are all from here. So, you know, I just refuse to take that extra step. Just, I don't know, maybe sounding that I'm from Delaware, from Chicago, sounds a little soft, and I'm 3 X's because I'm hardcore, so I'm not ready to go over to Delaware just yet. But I take their money. You best believe that. But we started off as a small, you know, show, just like everybody else, just loving wrestling. I got into it out here in Delaware in the tri-state area, but close to Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is known for, you know, their sports talk radio. And every day I would hear this guy just complaining and bickering every day. So I actually got the nerve and said, I'm going to do my own show. I talk a lot of trash. Why not? You know, started off as a wrestling show, and it's grown into this big conglomerate of a network now. It really is. Started off as the best damn show on radio. Started off in my basement just talking trash about wrestling on WrestleMania weekend, actually, that it started. And from there, we have seven shows, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Still looking for anybody out there that's looking to have a show. You can contact me at info@bdsirnetwork.com for any of that information. But our wrestling show, Perfect Plex Talk Radio, that's where, you know, the show the pros listen to, you name it, from Rikishi to DDP to, my Tully Blanchard, the list goes on and on and on.
We heard Luke Gallows on your show one night?
That's right.
Luke Gallows, before he told us he was coming on, before all this stuff happened. I've had what's the other guy? We thought it was going to be an ace of eights, but he's not there. Tang Mo Lawler was on there. You name them, we've had them all there. So that's every Monday immediately following Raw. We're live at BDSIRnetwork.com. You can listen in and also go to the Wall of Fame and see some of the great interviews that we've had as well.
All righty.
Beautiful.
Sounds good. And James and I, we've listened to your show. We enjoy
many
it.
Many a time.
It's a fresh, it's a differing opinion from what we're used to. So it's great to have you on. Okay.
That could be a bad thing or a good thing, depending on what you're saying. But yeah. If you listen more than once, it must be something.
That's
so
right.
I appreciate it.
That's right. No worries. Okay. General thoughts, Mike, just before we get into the whole thing, general thoughts this week on Monday Night Raw, you know, just in general overview, how are you feeling about the 3-hour Raw from Birmingham, England?
I hate 3-hour Raws. I'm just like what James was saying. And I don't have no one to take the pleasure of watching wrestling with me anymore. My wife used to watch it back in the Attitude days, but even her, she won't watch it now. There's nothing that's going to keep her interested. There's no Rock. There's no Stone Cold for her to watch it. So I'm by myself, and I have a show that goes on immediately after. So sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to sit there and watch. I go live. I'm like, man, I'm ready to go to sleep.
I hear you,
but,
man.
But if it wasn't for it being in England, you know, to me, I tweeted out at Mike Knox on Twitter, that's with 3 X's, that was the best crowd since Miami that I've seen on a WWE programming. And the worst part about that crowd is that when Ryback comes out, they still have to pipe in sound. So overall, I thought Raw was good, but I'm always the biggest optimistic person that I know when it comes to the WWE product. So.
Do you find yourself more positive or more negative about the product these days?
I'm always more positive because unlike the smart marks out there, I believe that we all watch it still to this day from when we were little kids because we're still hoping for great things to come. And if we continue to harp on all the negative stuff that happens on it, and don't get me wrong, they fumbled the ball more times than anybody I can ever think of. Okay, they thrown more interceptions than Tony Romo out there as far as giving us a product to watch on television. But you know, I always got a hope because they you know, it's like that woman that flashes you. You want to keep chasing her because you're hoping that just maybe she might take her whole shirt off so you can see all her boobs.
Yeah.
That's why I keep watching it.
All right. Yeah. It's almost like a tradition that you sit on your couch on a Monday night and you're and you would probably agree with this. I mean, this is my opinion anyways. I feel like it's just ingrained in me and it's that I watch the product on a Monday night, whether it's good or bad. And there's been times where I've doubted myself and I've actually stepped away from the couch, but I find today, right now, the current product, it is very, very difficult for myself to watch Monday
Night Raw. It's very difficult to really get into. It really seems like they're booking on the fly, and it almost seems like they don't know what they're doing from one week to the next, so it's very hard to stay invested in the product, you know?
And here's why. Because of decisions like what we saw on Monday, where we saw a complete 180 in terms of the main event of Survivor Series.
180, try 540. Holy jeez.
Here's Vince McMahon and Vicky Guerrero basically stunning the crowd when it came to the main event of Survivor Series.
So it's Punk versus Ryback at Survivor Series, but I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that's not good enough, right? The championship shouldn't be just one-on-one. It should be a triple threat match. That's what you were thinking, right? So you were thinking Punk versus Ryback versus, and if you say Dolph Ziggler, I'll fire you on the spot. It would be...
I don't think this is a good idea because of who I think you're thinking about. He's part of a scandal and this is not a good idea. I mean, he's in a really bad position right
now. He? Who's he? What do you mean? He, the person that stepped aside so that Ryback could have that opportunity? He, the person who fought CM Punk to a draw at Night of Champions? Is that the he you're talking about? It would be Punk Ryback versus?
John Cena.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
John Cena?
John Cena!
So I kind of hinted about this last week, James. That five-man elimination Survivor Series match, it might not have been the main event. And we find out it's not.
Well, I think it was originally supposed to be the main event, and then it got such a universally bad reaction that they kind of, you know, had to put the heels on and change some things around a bit.
Mike, your thoughts on Vince just completely pulling the switch on the main event and, you know, putting Cena, Punk, and Ryback in a triple threat match for the championship?
See, that's what bothered me about the universal response change that everybody got about it, because as you guys, you know, so eloquently asked me my opinion about the Survivor Series and about Raw, I thought it was great. Tradition, right? I watch for tradition. I still watch. I thought it was perfect. I themed on Team Mike Skills.
Oh, I'm totally with you. I liked it.
And the CM Punk's team, I thought the teams were great. And but what I'm hearing, what, you know, people, you know, if the powers that be, if you will, that the buy rates were so bad for Hell in a Cell without having John Cena on the card. And my whole thing is, I always thought Cena was hurt. There's rumors that he's in a doghouse with Vince. It has to be injury, because Vince loves money more than anything in the world. So I didn't like the idea personally. I don't want to see a triple threat, but we knew it was going to come eventually. But, you know, who are we?
Do you actually believe that a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match can sell Survivor Series? Are people going to watch that?
I think you're going to get people to watch it regardless. It's not WrestleMania. It's not Royal Rumble anymore. You know what I mean? The big two. Survivor Series used to be, you know, about maybe three, if not two, over the, you know, go back to 10 years ago, was probably the third biggest pay-per-view after SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's fallen to the wayside. Is it even a big four? You know what I mean? We know that it is technically, because it's the only four to keep the same name. But I thought maybe it could, because it had CM Punk in it. You know what I mean? And then maybe if you'd have put Cena on the other side, you know what I mean? Or, you know, or Ryback over there with Team Foley, I thought maybe it could have, because you had all your major components in the main event. But, you know, I guess somebody went back to Vince and said, hey, you're out of your mind. Cena needs to be on the main event card. That's
I'm reminded a few years ago, the WWE canceling Survivor Series altogether because it didn't sell well. And typically, you know, you don't have multiple man matches. I mean, I'm trying to say like tag team matches or Survivor Series style matches as main events, because they just don't draw well. People want to see one-on-ones. I don't really think they want to see triple threats, but, you know, one-on-one matches definitely sell. So I was actually very surprised that they went that route originally. And I had said to James last week on the show, I wasn't sold that that was the main event. And I think at some point between two Mondays ago and this past Monday, they made a decision and they said, you're right, this isn't going to work. This is a bad idea. We don't have enough time to promote it properly. We don't have enough time to give people a reason to care.
3 weeks is way too short a time to really build up a show like Survivor Series, I think. And they switched that too.
Now, what I found interesting was that it was Vince McMahon that came out to make the announcement. You know, he came out with Vicky Guerrero, and he was the one that said, look, this is changing. And to me, that might be a little symbolic that Vince McMahon was unhappy with what the writing staff had presented him, and he took matters into his own hands and said, all right, this is how it's going to be.
Or maybe they just couldn't come up with any better idea on how to switch everything around than throwing Vince McMahon out there and having him do it himself.
Maybe. I just feel like it's all being slapped together.
It is. The booking is very seat of their pants at the moment. Like I mentioned earlier, it's very hard to stay invested in the product when things are just topsy-turvy from week to week. I don't know. That's just how I feel.
So, Mike, knowing that you have the 5-man Survivor Series match, knowing that you have the triple threat match with Cena, Punk, and Ryback, is that enough for you to purchase Survivor Series at this point?
No, I don't think they've had a pay-per-view in quite some time outside of, you know, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, I mean, SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble worth me paying for, nor have I paid for any of them since, besides them. But
you host a wrestling show and you don't buy the pay-per-views.
Why? There's a worldwide interweb.
Oh, okay. All right.
Why would I buy something that I can get for absolutely free? It makes no sense. I pay for things that are worth me paying for. Like, I'm going to pay for George St. Sport against Pierre next Saturday night because I need to see him on my 60-inch TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not paying to see guys wrestle for 3 hours, and I see wrestle for, what, a total of 10 hours a week on television now? Mm-hmm. Between Raw, SmackDown, and Superstars, and
main event, and
main event. When my kid every day says, "Dad, can we watch wrestling?" It's, you know,
that's so, a fair assessment.
No, I'm not paying for that. I probably would have paid for it if they kept it traditional. That's what they're missing. They need to go back to having a Survivor Series on Thanksgiving night. Okay, And then people will buy it because you'll have guys who are non-football fans, which I don't know what kind of guy that is, but the non-football guys that would pay for a pay-per-view, wrestling pay-per-view, something different, and then give you the tradition. They need to keep it traditional. Wrestling cannot grow. See, my problem is always two things with wrestling. I blame a lot of things on the fans, and I blame the company. The fans, because to me, fans don't have a clue of what they want. We bitch and moan about having, younger superstars. They give us younger superstars, then we bitch and complain that we don't like nobody. Everybody's a heel because every time they're trying to make somebody a face, they get booed. So everybody's a heel. Then you bring in Ryberg, as they call them, and they want to call Goldberg when, yes, it's the same character. But guess what? Wrestling's been rehashing itself
over and over again.
Like everything in life, from music to fashion to movies, everybody does it. But in the wrestling community, the WIC, which we're a part of, they're so hard on the wrestling industry. What is there out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just say sit back and watch the product and stop. If you want to pay for it, pay for it. If not, no. Is this worth it? As of right now, no, it's not set up, in my opinion, to pay for it. I might have truly, honestly paid for it being in that traditional 5-on-5, which is, SummerSlam. Survivor Series match. Both them S's, they tongue twisters there, I tell you.
Mm-hmm. So we had the whole match, the 5-on-5 has completely changed since 2 weeks ago. You had CM Punk leading Team Punk. I mean, we named it. They named the team after the guy.
Well, Raw two weeks ago was pretty much useless.
They end up pulling Punk off the show. They put Wade Barrett on the show. You have The Miz quit. So we do have one spot left in that Survivor Series match. James, first of all, who do you think the fifth man is?
Honestly, I think the fifth man's going to be The Miz.
He quit, though.
Well, yeah, he quit the heel team. We're still looking for a spot on the babyface team. What if it's The Miz? What if we see a Miz face turn? You watch. I think we're going to see some surprises.
Is a Miz face turn at this point even relevant, considering the guy is on the biggest losing streak known to man?
Well, he needs something. He needs to do something to revitalize himself, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Mike, how about yourself? Who do you think takes that fifth spot on Team Punk?
I'm thinking somebody different, somebody new. You got that guy they advertised, which I'm hoping is not Dean Ambrose.
Fandango?
If that's Dean Ambrose's character, I might quit watching wrestling for a couple of weeks. Never for life, but for a couple of weeks.
They're saying it's Johnny Curtis.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Johnny Curtis, I think.
Maybe it's somebody like him. I can't see The Miz being a face because, again, like I just stated, the fans won't allow it.
Yeah.
Only person could be if Orton can't be a face, then no one can be a face.
True. At this point, my opinion on the whole thing is I don't even really care who it is.
You don't think Orton's over as a face?
I don't think Orton's over at all as a face. I think he doesn't carry a face well enough to be over as a face. He doesn't want to be a face. You could tell it by his demeanor.
You could definitely tell it. Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
So if he's not trying to give us something, see, I think WWE's faces now are all these over-the-top 80 characters like Cena and Sheamus, which I'm a fan of Sheamus, by the way. But I know a lot of people are very critical about his Mike Seals and how corny him and Johnson it can be. That's how WWE sees their faces, that kind of, Kofi Kingston now, the wildcat Kofi Kingston kind of overly-top bubblegum gimmick.
See, that drives me up the wall. Bubblegum. It drives me up the wall.
And you're right. And they don't let, and this is why the other half was the company. The company doesn't allow their superstars to be themselves anymore. That WWE 13 came out, and that was probably a bad thing for the company as a wrestling fan, because you're watching that or playing that game, and you're saying to yourself, wow, this is when wrestling was so great. And you go back to all the DVDs they give you every freaking week now, right? Yeah. You watch them, and all you ever hear from all those guys were, I could be myself. These guys can't be themselves. They're giving these, what's the guy's, Durango gimmicks coming in.
Fandango.
You got Mr. Perfect's son got to be McGillicuddy.
That's such an embarrassment.
They're just killing the business because they're trying to give you comic book characters. This isn't the 80s. And it worked in the 80s because in the 80s we didn't have, we had sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but it wasn't porn, sex, and shooting.
We didn't have the internet in the 80s.
Right. Which killed wrestling, by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well then let's talk about the main event. I mean, the Survivor Series match at this point still has a big question mark. I'm trying to figure out the reason why I should care about this 5-on-5 match.
yeah.
I mean, let me just bring this up. I mean, here, before I get into the main event, let me just say this. this is how poorly written Raw was this week. You have Wade Barrett asked by Paul Heyman to be part of Team Punk. Wade Barrett agrees, as he agrees, he says, by the way, Heyman, you owe me one, and I want that in writing.
And Heyman agrees.
And Heyman agrees. Halfway through the show, they switch gears. They take Punk off of the team. Wade Barrett's still on the team. Does that mean that Heyman still owes one to Wade Barrett?
Yeah, I know. That just makes no sense.
That's just the ridiculous booking that they and the writing that they did this week. It was, to me, I'm just like, what are you doing? If we can't figure it out, I don't think you guys have it figured out.
Well, how can they get... he's supposed to be a heel, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Wade Barrett, right? Mm-hmm. And the internet community all loves Paul Heyman, right? So the fact that he came out and said, I'm not a Heyman guy, to me, A, that didn't sit well with him. Mm-hmm. You know, me as a wrestling fan, being that I'm a Heyman guy.
Yeah.
And I have a shirt that says I'm the voice of the voice for the voiceless. I didn't get that part that he said that. But I thought, okay, maybe we don't know what's going to happen later. Remember my over-optimism? I didn't think that was that bad as far as I owe you one back. And I didn't think it was that bad, personally.
Well, I thought that was a good idea if they ran with it. Because yeah. You could actually make a storyline out of that. Like, you know, you could have a bit of an angle where Barrett and Heyman kind of, you know, they have this interaction where mm-hmm. Heyman does owe Barrett one. But in my opinion, that whole idea was squashed. And I don't know.
I just don't like how WWE throws continuity out the window at their leisure, you know?
Yeah.
It just, I don't know.
That's a perfect example.
For somebody who actually, you know, guys like us, we pay attention to these shows, we analyze them week after week, and then we get something like that. It's just, makes you do a facepalm, you know?
All right, let's talk about the main event, John Cena versus Ryback versus the WWE champion, CM Punk. Here's CM Punk's reaction after finding out just who he's facing at Survivor Series.
And now at Survivor Series, Team Punk is being demoted to Team Ziggler. And at Survivor Series, Vince McMahon continues his favorite tradition at Survivor Series of screwing his most talented performer. At Survivor Series, I am being screwed. Because Vince McMahon, hell, everybody, even all of you, want to see either Ryback or John Cena take from me what has rightfully belonged to me for 351 days.
Okay, there you go. The main event for Survivor Series is set. James, right off the bat, who are you taking for this match?
You know, it's kind of interesting because the real wild card with this whole situation is you've got The Rock waiting in the wings at Royal Rumble to take on whoever the champion's going to be. Mm-hmm. So are we going to see a CM Punk versus Rock dream match? Are we going to have a John Cena-Rock rematch? Because maybe they're afraid to do that at WrestleMania? Mm-hmm. Or shit, are we going to have Ryback versus The Rock?
Well, in my opinion, I think that CM Punk takes this. He leaves Survivor Series with the belt. I don't know why you would squash the champion one day before one full year takes place of being the champion.
Right.
Because it'll be 364 days at Survivor Series. Mm. Secondly, you don't want to squash all of CM Punk's momentum when you do have The Rock talking about facing him at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
To me, the attraction to this match is John Cena and Ryback finally getting in the ring together.
Yeah, they had a pretty good stare down at the end of Raw there. So. Mm-hmm.
Mike, what are your thoughts on the main event?
I've been clamoring and saying this for weeks, and it never pans out. This is, you know, we're all bookers. Ryback, to me, has always been in CM Punk's pocket. That makes sense. Hmm. Punk to have muscle with him. I see Punk winning the title, carrying it on to like you said, a full year. That makes no sense. He has to carry it for the year at this point. And then, you know, Ryback turns on Cena, and then you have it probably won't happen because we just talked about how there's no faces.
It makes sense.
You know what I mean? But it makes all the sense in the world. At least it could be.
And that's why it won't happen.
And that's why that's exactly why it won't happen, too.
Are you a fan of Ryback? Do you like what you see with him?
Yeah, I don't think he's like a mark. Yeah, I am, but that's only because I like Skip Sheffield as a person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm good. I can look past a person's character. I remember somebody asked me before, I hate this guy. I've never hated a single wrestler in my entire life. Not even
X-Pac?
As a kid, I truly hated the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
I did. I hated when I interviewed Tully.
Oh, I can understand that, yeah.
I said, I hated you. I was a Dusty Rhodes fan, you know, but I hate Zack Ryder. I don't hate him as a wrestler. I hate his gimmick. I can't hate Ryback. He's in the ring. He's kicking ass and he's taking names. Yeah, so what is a la Goldberg?
Okay, what about the process of Ryback? Do you like how they've handled it? Do you like how they take this guy out of nowhere, put him in the main event against CM Punk?
Strapped a rocket to his ass, essentially.
Basically. Are you okay with that?
No, I thought he could have went through a couple more mid-carders.
Exactly.
You know, first. But, you know, the way they were having him destroy him, they were killing their mid-card. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's, like we talked about booking, that was their fault for booking this guy like he can't even take a hit. You know what I mean? And then we know from experience, this is what we do. They can say all we want to. We don't know what we're talking about, but we watched the product for years and years and years. This guy can't go in the ring longer than 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You know I've been saying that for weeks. He gasses out early.
Shortest Hell in a Cell match ever.
Ever. You know what I mean? So you look at it like that and you go, what do you have here? You know, it's one of the things you sit there and roll like, this is why you don't order the pay-per-view. You know,
yeah,
and they're listening. We know they listen.
Yeah,
so, well, you know.
And it brings me back to my original point. If you don't think Ryback is going to turn on Cena, because you're right, there isn't a lot of faces in the organization. You know, what do you do? What do you do in this situation? I can't see Punk losing the title. Believe it or not, I can see John winning the title.
I could too, just primarily for the fact that they'd want to set up that rematch before WrestleMania, so they could have something new for WrestleMania. Because I think maybe they feel it would, I don't know, hurt buy rates a little bit to have a rematch at WrestleMania, because the big tagline, the big problem was the big tagline was once in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Then you can't go and do it the very next year at WrestleMania.
So what's the attraction here? What's the attraction here? The stare down was seen in Ryback at Survivor Series? Was that what people are supposed to be interested in?
It's a little bit of a tease, yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, you got to have the two big guys go, you know, head to head, at least appear that way.
Because you know they're going to come head to head eventually.
What's seen in Ryback?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The way they're pushing Ryback, they're going to make him a top face of the company. Of course, he's going to come face to face with Cena. So
here's my prediction is that everything happens with CM Punk, Phil, loses to The Rock I get all these pay-per-views confused, right? At the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
But then Punk enters the Royal Rumble, wins the Royal Rumble, because the one thing he hasn't done, okay? And then he goes on to WrestleMania in a triple threat match with Rock, Cena, and him, because he deserves to be in the main event. He complained about why he's not in the main event for over a year and a half now, about how come I'm not there. 2 years in a row, he gets overlooked. Yeah, he had a big match last year. We all saw it and witnessed it, but it wasn't the main event. This way, it gives you that once in a lifetime, it didn't happen. It was a one-on-one match. But this gives you Rock, Cena, too, but with a little twist in it by giving it to you, CM Punk. And this might say, well, what do you do with Brock Lesnar? You know he's going to be there. Brock Lesnar can fight Triple H again. Who would care if he fought him? He could fight The Undertaker. We know they've been building that for over 2-3 years now, going back to the MMA thing and the UFC.
Yeah.
Or he could fight Ryback, which I doubt if he'll fight a Ryback. But who cares who Ryback faces at that point in WrestleMania? He's not that over. You know what I mean? I mean, but he's not, you know, he's not WrestleMania over enough that he has to be in a main event at WrestleMania. So that's how I see it playing itself out. At least that's how I'd hope to see it play itself out. And it makes the most sense financially.
So
I think of things that way.
If Punk does go in a different direction with The Rock and you're left with John Cena and Ryback, is John Cena the man to kill Ryback's momentum? Or does Ryback run right over John Cena?
Wouldn't it be funny if he killed Ryback's moment. Everybody says that, at least I've always thought he's a big company guy. Wouldn't he be like, I'm not putting this guy over?
Well,
and he stops him.
It wouldn't surprise
that'd
me.
That'd be so funny, right?
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, you build a guy up to be the biggest thing ever, and then you slam him back down to the ground with John Cena.
I'm sorry. Tensai killed his momentum weeks ago.
Okay. James is referencing when Ryback tried to pick up
the live television sandbag.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
All right.
That's what happened?
Let's switch gears here. Let's talk about another hot topic that was on Monday Night Raw this week. Brad Maddox.
Oh, geez.
Or Maddox, however you want to pronounce it. It seems that
it's Maddox. It's CM Punk's the only one that's
He's having a good laugh about that.
Oh, he is.
But, you know, Brad Maddox at Hell in a Cell, he referees the Hell in a Cell match between CM Punk and Ryback. He ends up low-blowing Ryback, helps Punk cover him for the 1-2-3. We got absolutely no explanation as to why Brad Maddox did what he did 2 weeks ago.
It's because they didn't know themselves. They couldn't figure it out by the next
night. And then, finally, this past Monday night on Raw, we have Brad Maddox come out in street clothes. He wasn't wearing his referee gear because I guess he's suspended.
You call them street clothes?
Better than what you wear, buddy.
I don't
Regardless,
think so.
Here is Brad Maddox so. Explaining his actions at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
I know what I did wasn't right. That was all me. That was all me. CM Punk had no idea what I was going to do. He was just as surprised as Ryback was. He was just as surprised as all of you were. I made an impact. My actions, very simply, were driven by my desire to be somebody. Well, I'm somebody now. I'm famous now. People know my name everywhere. People know my name in England.
All right, Mike, I'll start with you. The explanation from Brad Maddox as to why he did what he did at Hell in a Cell. Were you buying it and were you liking it?
Personally, I loved it. I don't know why he agrees with me on that. This guy could be the biggest jobber or the biggest, you know, storyline in history, in my opinion. Yeah, it can go either way depending on how the company decides to screw it over. Okay, because everybody hated how The Miz came into the business, right? We all knew he used the role for his fame, which we can't be mad at, really, because any of us would have did the same thing if we were given that opportunity.
Absolutely.
But he took a lot of flack for it. You know, this guy says, you know what? Hey, I saw an opportunity, and damn it, I took it. Give me $1 million. Hey, I'll fight him for $1 million. Of course he's not going to beat Ryback next week for $1 million.
Really?
The whole thought of it is pretty god darn fun. And what if he does beat him, right? He hasn't officially, well, actually, his losing streak, he already lost, and now he's not undefeated. You know, if he gets screwed again, you know, instead of a cattle prod, this time he actually gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
He still lost the offense, so now they can shoot somebody and show some blood.
Yeah, because he's saying on Raw as well that he wants to take on Ryback next week on Raw.
I would mark out big time for a cattle prod.
Okay, James.
Greatest thing ever happened.
James, what do you make of the Brad Maddox situation? Are you liking the explanation given?
Well, I mean, I don't mind it. It seems like it's something very last minute that they slapped together. My question is does Brad Maddox really have a future moving forward?
Well, he is an independent wrestler. The guy knows how to wrestle.
No, I'm not taking anything away from his skill set or anything, even though I haven't seen him work in the ring.
I've heard
good things about him.
Sorry, I was just going to say, he's also, from what I understand, a Triple H project. This is a guy that Triple H has brought in.
Hey, and you know, being friends with Triple H is great for your career. Just ask Sheamus, right?
But regardless about what you think he's going to do down the road as a wrestler, do you like the explanation given, and do you like the way they debuted this character?
I don't mind it. I mean, I'm not totally against it. Mm. I thought they could have maybe done something a little bit more, but I mean, I'm not totally against it. I don't hate it or anything.
See, me personally, I love this. I was not sold on Brad Maddox the night after Hell in a Cell. You know, when I watched Hell in a Cell, and I'm like, oh God, this is such a ridiculous ending to a pay-per-view. We obviously got no follow-up the next night on Monday Night Raw, but and for that, I was kind of like, well, this Brad Maddox thing won't work. But the way he came out on Monday and the way he explained himself, I loved it. And here's why. There are so many independent wrestlers who want to get their shot at the WWE,
yeah.
And they go to these open tryouts down in Florida. They pay their $2,000. They basically get put through an hour-long cardio session.
The ringer.
And then they get kicked out the door. Thank you very much for your money. And they never hear from the WWE again. And there are tons of guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have the WWE recognizing that, and they're capitalizing off that idea that anyone can become a star in the WWE.
Yeah, no, if they go that way where they kind of push him as this indie wrestler who's trying to carve something out for himself, then yeah, I don't mind that at all.
The other thing that I like about this is that this is such a different way to introduce a new character into the show. I mean, we look at Fandango there, and he's got, you know, he's got this vignette that's airing on Monday Night Raw. We've seen it before with previous wrestlers.
Del Rio, and
Wade Barrett made his return, when Chris Jericho was making his return. I don't like those vignettes because it's just to me, it's a cheap way of introducing a guy back onto Monday Night Raw. At least this way was innovative.
See, I disagree with you. I think the vignettes are a good way to build up excitement and to build up that anticipation.
Okay, well, whether you like it or not, the point I'm trying to get across is, you know, it's different.
Yes, no,
it's innovative. It's different. We've never seen it before. The only part I don't like about it was you used the main event of a pay-per-view to introduce this guy. I hated that. If you're going to introduce this guy, you know, you do it. You don't do it at the main event of a pay-per-view.
No, I agree with you. And I've mentioned this before on the show. It's highly illogical to have somebody who's supposed to be a replacement referee, and he's refereeing the main event of the pay-per-view.
And the other thing I don't like about it is this guy should have been fired on the spot. He shouldn't even be getting, you know, here you have a referee who basically destroys all credibility with the referee department within the WWE.
Yeah.
So how do we reward this guy? We give him a microphone and airtime on Monday Night Raw. That part I disagree with. If it was a mid-card match or if it was something down, if it wasn't the main event of a pay-per-view, I would have no problem with what they're doing and I would be ecstatic about the way they're introducing Brad Maddox. But I didn't like that they used him in the main event. But regardless, I'm interested to see this guy. And you know damn well Vince is loving this because he's got a new character. He's got a new face on Monday Night Raw, a guy that can wrestle. And people are genuinely interested in this guy. I really believe that.
Well, I wouldn't agree with you there, but
All right, Mike.
How else could Ryback have lost? You know what I mean?
And
you know what made me sick? You know what made me real sick? Because I can't stand, you know, the internet world we live in. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, the hell you didn't. Because if anybody pays attention to wrestling, this guy had been main eventing every main event as a referee for the last month or so. So pay attention to your referees that are in the ring, that he happened to be there that time. No one saw that coming. I thought it was good that he was on the pay-per-view because he couldn't lose no other way. There was no way they could put the strap on him unless they really, truly got mad at CM Punk for hitting a fan. But then again, the video game was coming out. So again, people, use the financial wisdom that, you know, God gave you and think about it. Video game, Tuesday, Sunday, pay-per-view. You knew who was going to win. Ryback can't get beat normally.
Well, I'll say this. I kind of did predict Brad Maddox doing what he did because as soon as I saw him in the ring before the match started at Hell in a Cell, I said to the people I was watching the pay-per-view with, why is that referee refereeing the main event? Why is that guy who has a history with CM Punk and is brand new to the company, how the hell is that guy getting a shot refereeing the main event already? So it wasn't a complete surprise to
but
me.
But he had been doing it for a month or so.
I know. Regardless, no, I understand what you're saying. Like, obviously, I didn't see him low. I didn't see the low blow coming, and I didn't see the pin. I will say that I did not see it coming. But what I don't like about that is these finishes, these swerves that just come out of left field, and it's just like a cheap way to end the pay-per-view. And I said this before. It reminds me of when Kevin Nash came out of the crowd at SummerSlam and cost, I can't remember who.
It was CM Punk and he was fighting Triple H.
Yes, and he cost Triple H the match, wasn't it?
No, he cost CM Punk the match.
Yeah,
right.
That how Kevin Nash just came out of nowhere and then here we are introduced to Kevin Nash. To me, that's the same thing. I don't like those finishes that you just come up with off the top of your head and everyone's supposed to buy into that. You know, back to your original question, how would you have liked it to finish? I'm sorry. Don't book yourself into a corner that you can't get out of.
that was John Cena. He got hurt. That all happened because Cena got hurt.
Yeah.
And they had nobody else to put in that spot because they say Ziggler's not ready. But then again, he's a heel. People don't like heels versus heels, you know?
What happens this Monday with Brad Maddox and Ryback?
I think Ryback runs Strowman.
Oh, yeah, Ryback's going to crush him.
I don't know because I want to say that on one end, but then the guy has to stay around, you would think. So maybe, like I said, Ryback gets screwed again somehow. You know, and then now becomes the era of screwness.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's Survivor Series, right? It would make, you know.
It would make sense because, I mean, next week's Raw is the go-home show before the pay-per-view. So, you want to build up heat to that match, you know, screw Ryback over. Maybe CM Punk comes out and screws Ryback somehow.
Do we see Brad Maddox earn a contract with the WWE?
That's a tough question. I guess it's all going to... It's a very open-ended question, I mean.
I think without question. You got a brand new character. I mean, the girls like Brad Maddox, as James's girlfriend told us.
Yeah, she was quite enamored with him.
I know he's got a baby face. He's now a character. We saw his mic skills this past Monday on Raw. They're not terrible.
No.
He was convincing.
He can speak.
He can wrestle.
They were better than my favorite wrestler right now, Dolph Ziggler. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, no broke back. He had that golden smile.
I know. And the girls love it. The girls love it.
I have to make a name for myself. So I'm sorry. I thought it was funny.
You watch. I think they got big plans for Brad Maddox. I really believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, I think we got to wrap it up. We're already way over time this week. There's a lot, you know. It's we funny.
I could do this all night, man.
It's funny because you know you don't want to rip the product because it is not the greatest right now. But at the same time, I find myself having more to say when the product is this bad. Mm. And you know, for us, it's great. And for the fans who are listening, you know, they have stuff to think about and talk about as well. I just wish it was a little bit different in a sense that the product was really good and we were really behind what they were doing. And
you know what? For me, one word. It all comes down to one word, and that's continuity. Hmm. Follow continuity, man.
And tradition.
Tradition, sure. But just continuity with storylines. Like, a big one for me was... when Hornswoggle was the anonymous Raw general manager. I mean, you heard me go off on it on the show here about when that happened, but just...
That was just asinine.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Mike, we got to get out of here. Is there anything else you want to talk about before? Anything else you want to mention, get off your chest before we let you go tonight?
Hey, just, you know, so everybody follow me on Twitter at Mike Knox. That's spelled with 3 X's. And do me a favor, because this really annoys me. People, do I look like I'm a 6'10" white guy that's hairy with a beard that comes down to my chin and nipples? No, I do not. My picture is on. I get so many. Are you the real Mike Knox? Yes, I am. Because that is, yes, that is my name. How can you not see my picture and ask me, am I the guy that wrestled in WWE? That's the dumbest response I ever get from fans. But it's okay. Just keep following me.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. This was great. I mean, if we had more
very
time,
enjoyable.
We would definitely talk more. Yeah.
We're definitely going to check out the website, bdsirnetwork.com as well.
Please. No worries. And we definitely want to have you back on the show down the road. And, you know, we got New York, New Jersey on the horizon. Maybe we'll meet up there as well.
We have to. If you're going to be there, you know, I'm going to be there. So we got to hook up another show on the road.
I can foresee a few beers in the future.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Much beers.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate it.
Peace.
All right. Take care. There you go. Mike Knox, James.
Absolutely. Great to have another aspect on the tail of the tape like that. It was fun.
Yeah, it's nice to get a fresh take for sure.
Especially from somebody who has their own wrestling show and pretty much does what we're doing right now. So it was really good. Very refreshing.
All right. Let's not waste any more time. We are already short for time as it is.
We're crunching here.
Let's get to our favorite segment of the show.
What are you thinking about?
Let's get to our favorite segment of the show, the local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
Well, it's the local wrestling scene where we talk about everything going on in the Pacific Northwest.
Just interrupted my guitar solo.
And I will do it every single time. Big weekend for local wrestling this weekend, Corey.
Yes, ECCW's Wrestling with Hunger. If you haven't heard of this event, it is a spectacular event that takes place in the greater Vancouver area, Port Coquitlam specifically, this Saturday, happening at the Elks Lodge, ECCW.com for tickets and details. James,
what is Wrestling with Hunger? Why don't you tell us?
Well, I'm reminded of when Wrestling with Hunger started back in 2009. The ECCW had set a world record for the amount of time The longest
consecutive wrestling show. Yeah. It was like 3 days long.
Three days long.
Can you imagine that? 3 days, 72 hours of constant wrestling?
And they were working in conjunction with the Share Food Bank. And that's sort of the same idea this Saturday. They're trying to raise food, or they're trying to get people to bring food
trying to get donations
for the food bank.
Absolutely. Very, very, very good cause. Like we were just mentioning, it happens this Saturday, and that's happening at the Elks Hall, which is 2272 Lee Square in Port Coquitlam, B.C. Quite a good card happening this weekend, too.
Yes, well, let's kick it off. You got Jamie Diaz versus Dastardly Danny Deeds, Tony Baroni versus Breaker Eiton. I'm not a big fan of that guy. I'm sorry. You have a tag team championship match. I know he's been around a long time. I'm just sorry. Big NWA ECCW tag team championship match. You have the Riot, who are the champions, taking on the Bollywood Boys, Gerv and Harv Sira. You also have an NWA Canadian heavyweight championship match, which is Bishop versus the Grappling Gorilla.
Now, just who is the Grappling Gorilla?
That's really the question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a mystery.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't know who the Grappling Gorilla is.
I think it's Jason Sullivan.
I think I'm wrong. I think you're smoking something, but.
All right, but this is the match I'm really looking forward to this week. Like these two competitors, they really impressed me at Halloween Hell. This is the one. You have Scotty Mac taking on the King of the Yukon.
Yes, that's going to be a very good match. If you're going to go for anything, go for that match.
Now, what's interesting is it was announced late tonight, Thursday, that the ECCW, they're holding a little incentive to have fans bring food to this show to donate to the food bank. They're actually going to be offering a one-year pass to all of ECCW's show to one lucky donator, I guess you could call them. It's going to be a random draw from what I understand. You have the more food you bring, the greater chance you have of winning. This is a great idea.
It's a very good idea. And so it's such a good cause too. So, I mean, if you're in the Vancouver area, you want to check out some professional wrestling this weekend, this is the event to go to. Very good cause.
ECCW.com once again. Now let's switch gears to the other local wrestling promotion in Vancouver, and that's All Star Wrestling. Their website is www.allstarwrestling.biz. I would also suggest looking them up on Facebook. But next weekend, Friday, November 16th, they have a show that they're dubbing Return of the Vampire, and that's happening at Cloverdale Fairgrounds at the Alice McKay Building.
Now, great venue.
And great lineup. I'm really happy about this. I mean, they're going to have Casey Andrews versus Alex Prestige. They got Colin C4 Cutler versus the Great Kasaki. They're going to have a little show. I guess you almost call it, it's almost like Miz TV, but they're calling it India's Palace with special guest Disco Fury.
Huh.
They're going to have a grudge match, Ravenous Randy Myers versus Fitness Freddie Funk. I hope he brings a shake weight. They're also going to have an ASW tag team title match with The Breakers versus Azeem the Dream and Lone Wolf McCoy.
Your favorite.
And the ASW Trans-Canada title, it's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls matchup with Gangrel, the Vampire Warrior, who is the Trans-Canada champion. He's going to be taking on the challenger, Fabulous Fabio.
Should be a good one,
And listen to this. Artemis Spencer versus Kyle Sebastian with a 1 hour time limit.
That's going to be a showcase, that one, I tell
you. Is that almost Iron Man match? I mean, 1 hour time limit. You don't see that every day.
No, it's. I don't think it's an Iron Man match.
No,
it's one fall.
They would call
it
that if it was.
Yeah, but it's a one fall match, I think.
That should be a good couple weeks in the local wrestling scene here in Vancouver.
So, once again, what are those websites?
ECCW.com and allstarwrestling.biz.
There you go.
Wow, you're so full of words in the local wrestling scene.
Woo! No, I'm just playing. I love the wrestling scene that we got going on here in Vancouver. It's actually there's quite a deep talent pool here in Vancouver.
It's one of the best. It's underrated, underappreciated by the rest of North America. And it's our job, James, you and I, to make sure the rest of the world finds out about these guys.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, let me just remind everyone before I plug our own website that tickets for WrestleMania New Jersey, New York, they go on sale to the general public this Saturday, 10 a.m. James, are you buying?
Still up in the air, my friend. Still up in the air.
I'm buying.
I know you are.
Why do I have a feeling I'll end up buying yours?
Why would you buy mine?
You're right. Why would I buy mine? Or buy yours? You're right.
Anyways.
All right. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and we're also on Twitter at SRL Radio. You can also find us in the iTunes store, and we really would appreciate it if you left some feedback to help us climb the charts there. Just look up Smack Talk Radio Live. And as announced earlier tonight, James, the Smack Talk Radio Live iPhone app, it is in development. Beautiful. It's official.
One last thing. Don't forget about those emails, folks.
On air
at smacktalkradiolive.com. Tell us what you thought about Monday Night Raw. Tell us what you thought. Do you like Brad Maddox? Do you like the whole switching the card around there at the very during Monday Night Raw? Tell us what you thought. On air at smacktalkradiolive.com. There might be some cool stuff coming your way.
And if you do send us an email with your thoughts and opinions on the week it was in professional wrestling, I will give you James's ticket to WrestleMania.
Wow.
Yeah, just kidding. Although I'd rather go with you than him. All right, this has been another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. We will definitely be back Thursday, as long as the products suck and I stop watching altogether. Because this week it wasn't doing it for me, as you found out earlier. All right, I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.